Blog Talk Radio.
Ho! Brothers and sisters,
just like a show,
I want to welcome you back to life.
Yeah.
Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most?
WVSW. We're the voice of the Smith Way Internet
Talk Radio. So glad to have a chance to be on this dial. Look to see the individuals who's joining. Thank you so much. Now, our show going to focus on spring football and sports in 2021 part two. We talked about part one last time, so we're really excited about it. We want you to be able to call in, and you can call in at 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. Like, identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to give your location and offer your expertise. If you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/WVSW. Woo, you know, I'm working, y'all, to give me a chance. We're just trying to get you WVSW. Internet Talk Radio. That's what's on our web link as well. We converted a lot of stuff, and I'm working, trying to get the right mindset. We're going to keep on doing it, and I'm going to keep on saying it till we get it like it needs to be done. So that's what it's all about. We have several people joining us on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking time. Your time is valuable. So you're taking time to share this moment with us, and we're so glad to have you. Now, we're also being broadcast on Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. It's going to be Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. We're also broadcast on Instagram as well as Twitter. That's at the Smith Way Production. We still carry that name, but we're going to make sure we make some adjustment with that. We also, you can check us out on Twitter on WVSW_internet_talk_radio. You can get us there as well. So we're so glad to come before you. And if you want to actually tweet anybody that serves as a host, a co-host, you can. You can go to @ the Smith Way Production. I mentioned that as well. @ Tremaine Edwards with the number 7. @ Coach with a K, _L_Smith. @ Elliot Darrell with the number 1. And then we also have @ Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. Really excited to have each of the co-hosts that join us. And I like to share with everybody that a lot of times that we have individuals on here, you know, I'm getting some kind of power shortage right here, and I need to make sure I get on that power shortage here. I'm about to lose one of my mechanical devices. So I want to try to make sure I get that power booty back up there. But what we're going to do, we're just going to play about 2 or 3 seconds of the music. We're going to carry on. We're going to finish up with that song about being ready. Then we're going to make sure we can come right back and make sure we're back on task. So just hold up just for a second.
I feel the master.
We'll find out what I feel about to lose that power.
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on. Well, come on. Ready. Y'all ready? They ready?
As I was doing, introducing those individuals to join us as volunteers and co-hosts and experts, we thank each and every one of them for joining us. I'm going to call out their name, and when they come on the line, I'll make sure I reintroduce them in a manner that I always do. In regards to the individuals from North Alabama, this young man coaches up in the system up in Madison County, Madison, Alabama, Madison Middle School. He was recently at Chapman Middle School, where he won 6 girls middle school basketball championship, 5 boys middle school basketball championship, and 2 boys football championship at the middle school level. So we're so glad to have him now at Madison. His team had a chance to go to the championship, Madison Middle School up in Madison County. So we applaud him. We call him the King. You deserve that name because he come hard when he's on here. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. Also, we have the first lady of the hour. She's been here for a while. We're so glad to have her. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith, hails from Central Alabama. And she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Giving her a shout out, that's Coach Smith. Also, we have from South Central Alabama, we have 2 candidates that works with us. And we have somebody from South Alabama, as well as another Central Alabama individual. We have former associate executive director with the Alabama High School Association, my frat brother, so glad to have him, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, none other than Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth, also from South Central Alabama. This young man is always helping young people. That's what he's doing tonight. He already called me and told me. He's out officiating games. There's always to have someone ready to officiate a game and make sure our game goes safely. Another member of my fraternity. So glad to have him. None other than Coach Marvin Smith, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Then we travel down south to up Alabama by way of Montgomery, by way of the big KB, 94.1. Oh, we so glad to have this guy to be here with us and give us the directions we need. Another one of my fraternity brothers, none other than people know him as the conductor of the E-Train, the Don King of all things, my brother, Darryl E-Train Elliott. He joins us from time to time. We also have another young man that joins us from Central Alabama, a millennium. So glad to have him as well from time to time. He's on the show as an expert, none other than Coach Cameron Gilmer. Now, our newest team member, so glad to have this young lady. When we was communicating and she said, I have an interest in being on your platform, I said, Lord, God is blessing us in so many ways. And I threw my hand up and said, thank you, God. She's an author. She's a life coach. She's an owner of the River Region Generals. She'll correct me if I'm making a mistake. Also, the Montgomery Knights. I may be wrong again. She's going to help me out. And also the Lady Magic. If I'm not mistaken, that's with Montgomery. None other. She will correct me if I didn't get it right. None other than Sarita Duncan. How you doing, Sarita?
I'm good. You did very well.
Okay, thank you. So I'm working on it. I'll be trying to make things happen. I try to read as much as I can. Thank you for joining us tonight, Sarita. It's always good to have you, Sarita, Sarita, and I'm so glad to have you. We'll call you Coach because on this show you're a coach. She's the second young lady that's on here with us. So before we had only one female who was hanging here. Now we got a second one ready to throw jabs and punches. It's like everybody else on this show. And I say, as they call in and they let me know if they're ready to speak, I see several calls on the line now. And all you have to do is press one, and I'll make sure I make you live. I don't want to overlook anybody because that's what it's all about. I'll call out the last four digits of the cell or telephone number, then make sure we get you on the show. All right, Sarita, we got an awesome, awesome format, I do believe, that we want to talk about when we're dealing with sports. However, before we do that, I want to take this opportunity because Sarita has been on our show as an expert as well as a guest and kind of share. Take about 2 or 3 minutes because I think it's important for people to understand individual background. Sarita is an entrepreneur. She works hard at what she's doing. And I called on all those things she was doing, but she also focused working on getting individuals, and not always youth, but for sure young adults, an opportunity to excel to the next level. So, Sarita, if you kind of share with our audience in regards to your ownership of your semi-pro teams or the teams that you have in this river region.
Oh, no problem. I am the owner of the River Region Generals. It's a professional basketball organization. We do say semi-pro, but we really try to focus on it just being a professional organization because it is for male adults age 18 and up. We are a part of the American Basketball Association, which has been around for decades. And we have about 180 teams now in the organization. We're part of the Southeast Division. There's about 40 teams in the Southeast Division. Due to COVID-19, there are only a select few of us that are playing. The River Region Generals are part of the power ranking of the ABA, so that's a very, very big accomplishment for an organization that's only in their third season. This is our third year here in Montgomery. We were playing at Lovelace Community Center before the pandemic, but we had to relocate to Wetumpka. They have graciously opened their arms up to us and allowed us to use their facility. And our record is 3-5 right now. So we're holding strong. We are following COVID guidelines, and we are still having games on Saturday and Sundays. So we have a game coming up on February the 6th, again at the Rod Center in Wetumpka, Alabama. So it's been a great honor to be able to be in the capital city and to be able to provide another level of basketball for the city, for the players. We have players that are coming from Selma. We've got players that are coming from as far as Alex City, and also here in Montgomery. So it's been a blessing to be able to help others.
It's a blessing to have you a part of this team, and thank you for accepting the invitation. Just check out, see what she's doing. She's making some things happen in the River Region. Check out those individuals, those young men and women that's out there that are playing. Some of them you may know or heard of that are playing above the level of high school, the level of college in some sense, because it's a chance for them to continue. Now, this is always something I felt like Montgomery needs to make sure they do for the individual who may have been of age way beyond college level and still want to come compete in the game. Because I can remember when I came of age in the early 20s and was no longer playing any college, any sports, I would be in the gym. I would be in the Capitol Heights gym.
Right.
I would be in the Paper Road gym. I would be in the Bellingraph gym playing, the Goodwin gym. Whatever the gym was open, Sheridan Heights, it was open when we was playing. So we was doing, but it was nothing available to the sense to move to the magnitude that what Sarita is doing. So we're going to applaud her on doing that because it's so important to have a main focus there to make sure our young people, because they are still young.
I tell some of them, just
getting into the early years of adulthood. So they're still young. We got to make sure we guide and touch and show them the direction they need to go and giving them something to do instead of into something that is not as good as we think it should be and could lead to someone. So, Rita, again, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. But we're going to move forward with our show tonight. We're going to make this thing happen. Now, we have several people joining. I want to give a shout-out to those people already on Facebook. Thank you so much. We have joining us Latay Pickett, joining us with Inspire to Inspire Ministry. You can check her out on Facebook, and you can support her organization. She's doing some great things. We have Michelle Langford Levet. She's joining us as well, member of Zeta Phi, Beta Sorority Incorporated. Also, we have, I always want to say Cynthia, but Intia, Patrice. Thank you so much, Patrice, for joining us. She came on our show a couple times just to share her expertise. Thank you so much, Patrice. She's joining us. Then we also have Jennifer Renee Adams. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us. You've been supportive, and we couldn't ask for nothing better. Having an individual that's supporting us, not every now and then, you're on here more often than we can think for many people. Thank you so much. Then we have Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California, and she has Behind the Mask Ministry. She always tells me, I'm not a sports person, but I'll listen to the show. Thank you so much, Denise, as ministress. Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mask Ministry. So those are the individuals so far. There'll be many others coming on Facebook and be joining us. So we're so glad to have you on. All right, Sarita, we're going to kind of focus on several topics we call our Coach's Corner. And the first topic we're going to talk about the NCAA men's basketball tournament and possibly the women's basketball tournament playing in what we call the bubble site. For a lot of people that is not aware of what a bubble site, it was used to the advantage of the NBA in the for the championship, where all the teams went down, was in a bubble, for a month or 2 months, like 3 months for the NBA. They played all their games. They couldn't go out. They was bubble. They played where they could so we could fight off this COVID-19. It was very successful.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, it was out of all the tests ran, no one that was inside the bubble was tested. That means that was coaches, that was staff individuals, people that was around the hotel, everything, because they had to have a designated place. So they're using it with the NCAA men's basketball tournament, most likely with the women as well. We want to talk a little bit about that so individuals can understand exactly what they're focusing on. If you, I'll start off and you can join in. They're going to take everything to Indiana, which is Indianapolis, in that area, several games, several hotels, and they're going to put all the teams that qualify for the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, we call, so they can participate and make it through without moving all over the country and traveling a whole lot. So that's what the bubble site is all about. Now, I think it's awesome that they'll bring our young people together and put them in one place. It's going to be a challenge because we know, as we think in our democratic society, why I'm stuck in this hotel, why I have to do this, why I have to eat this, why I have to do that. But we have to look at the goal that we're trying to get to. The goal is to be able to complete a season and finish to get a champion without a large outbreak of infection within a team. Now, football is a little different. It has affected a lot of teams during football season, but basketball, it don't take but one player that that's affected in contract tracing all the other players around.
Right.
That might be 6 or 7. You only have 12 or 13 basketball players that plays or scholarship players or players that's on your team. So the bubble site is a good idea. It's a way to kind of control the narrative so we can make it through this season so we can get a chance to see a tournament this year. Let's think back to last year. It was March 11 or 13, I believe, when it was announced that the country was closing down, no more sports, no more anything. The young people didn't get a chance to complete their season. They didn't get a chance not only basketball, but any spring sport there was, they didn't get a chance to complete it. So what we want to do, and a lot of money was lost. It's all about money. We have to keep that in mind now. It's all about money.
Yes.
And the money was lost from the TV rights and just all of the thing that goes along with putting on that tournament when they didn't get a chance to complete that tournament. So this year, because of a lot of budgets within a lot of these universities, they're at a deficit. Some universities, I was listening the other day, going to have a deficit, and I was talking about LSU, $80 million. $80 million. That's going to be a deficit due to money they'd be lost from. They're counting on from the tournament they would have received because it would have went all into their pot with the SEC, and they split that money up in the spring, but they didn't have as much to split. They wanted to use the football money. So that was one of the things that we're trying to avoid to make sure the money is available so our schools can. They're going to be in a deficit, but the bubble site is a good opportunity to complete the NCAA tournament for men, also women, we call March Madness. Sarita.
I think it's a great idea. I really think it's a great idea from actually competing in two different seasons since the pandemic started. Because, like, as you were saying, the pandemic started about the second week in March when they really started announcing and shutting things down. And with the ABA, we were just going into playoffs. So, again, we had to stop playing. And so now this season we're trying to maneuver. You know, we still do temp checks, you know, hand washing. We make sure we are putting cleaning the ball in between timeouts and things of that nature. I still do have fans come in and have to wear masks, you know, to be in the facility. But it's really, really hard to try to put on a tournament when, you know, when there's money involved. So I think the bubble site is a great idea. And if it would have been cost efficient, you know, I wish that a lot of other teams and organizations were able to be able to do that and still provide basketball, of being able to at least watch it on TV, even if they don't really have fans at the games. I'm pretty sure they're able to come up with another concept where they can still have some revenue coming in. But for those young men that are missing out on the opportunity to play, you know, that's detrimental to their career if they don't get to play.
Awesome, awesome. And that's what we got to keep in mind. One of the biggest questions I run into, Sarita, from a lot of people is about revenue. She said how important it is to have people in the stands. It's super important if you're at a level where that determines how your budget is going to go. But when you're talking about a lot of times major universities, that the revenue comes from the TV rights. And come from the because each one of these Power Five conferences is associated with a network, whether CBS, ABC, ESPN, and by association with that network, if they play the game, whether they have one in the stand or 100 in the stand, or 2,000 in the stand, or 3,000, or 100,000, they're gonna get the money.
Right.
Yes, the money they have
exactly.
It's good to have them in there with this, you know, we always say put your meat in the seat. We always want you to be there, but the bottom line is those schools prefer being able to play the game. If
they have to play the game.
And not only for the revenue, let's kinda we get caught up a lot of time with the revenue. As a former athlete myself, coach and athletic director and a principal and a central office staff, I did all that. But as a coach, one of the most pleasing things for my players and for myself was to be able to show what we had worked on through practice when we got a chance to play in a game. And when we had a chance to play in a game, we really enjoyed it. It helps us grow. It's all about teamwork. You can't, you know, everything was shut down. And I, honestly, whatever people believe, I know it affected us in many ways and still affecting us in many ways. But what I've been keeping in mind, decisions had to be made. But at this point, I think about my daughter, who is a middle school basketball coach. And they had to struggle through the middle schools in the Montgomery area playing games. They played a tournament, but her team could not play in the tournament. And the reason that team couldn't play in the tournament was because one of her players traveled out of the country, came back, and she tested positive, the mom and the daughter, but the daughter came around the players. So the coach had to go home for 14 days. The student had to be at home for 14 days, even if you was, and had to be tested. So that's why I said we have to be sympathetic to things like that because it does happen. Because this is nothing to play with, and people have to realize it's nothing to play with. We have a situation now. We have people in the Montgomery Public Schools from may not. Some people say it wasn't directly, but they may have had it and they came home and they never left their home. We're now saying goodbye to them, and because of COVID-19. So take the right precaution, but it is a reward for a player, for a coach, for a parent, for a community, for a school, whatever entity is part of it that's so important to it. It gives them that life. Sports is important for our life, and we have to keep that in mind. A lot of times people think we shouldn't play in the sport. I think we should be exposed to everything. When I say everything, in regard to music, arts, sports, because our young people and adults, people have to remember, we as adults grow from sports as well. Whether we're on the sideline shouting, whether we parents, you know, of our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins, we enjoy sports. So we're going to have to practice the best safety measures so we can at some time have some sense of normalcy. It's going to be a new norm. We got another stat coming up this fall. We have the vaccine. If you don't practice the safety measures, the vaccine means nothing. And the thing about it, we have to be able to have everybody vaccinated so we can. That chooses to. I don't force anybody to do that. Please don't get me wrong on that. That's your choice to be vaccinated.
True.
I have another thought process about that, and I'm not going to get on that because this show is not for that. But I'm just saying that I know I'd hurt her. This is her first head coaching job. And she lost about 3 or 4 games during the season because of one of the teachers at the building causing the coaches and the other teachers to go into quarantine for 14 days. One game she couldn't coach because her assistant coach, who do not work at the school, was able to carry on that challenge. But she missed so many games. Then they had the interruption in the season. So having a bubble site is always good to put everybody in one place. We might not want to be there. If we want to play the game, that's the only way we can make through the game to be successful. So I applaud the NCAA for moving that direction because firsthand, that's the way she called. We talk, and she be, "Dad, this is killing me. You know, why can't we just play? You know, she asked a whole lot of questions, and she been around coaching all her life, so she know I coached every over 30 years. And she'd been there as a child, knowing it up to a young adult. So she wanted to really get out and work hard, but unfortunately, that's the way things happen. So we have to kind of be supportive of what's trying to happen to make it better for our sport. And that's what we're all about. We're talking about sport. Now, we want you to be a part of it by calling in 347-857. Make sure you call in and give us a holler again at 347-857-4192. Press 1, and after you press 1, we'll make sure we get you on the line. Identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then just offer your name and your expertise. All right, we're going to kind of take a step toward looking at something, a topic dealing with sports. I think it's not only at the level I'm going to mention. It's at every level, and sometimes we can ask a coach who coached and had it to happen to them. There's a big discussion in the NFL because there were 6 openings in the NFL for head coaches. As of today, 5 of the openings have been filled, but they've been filled by Caucasian candidate. I'm sorry, 4 Caucasian. Mm-hmm. The other one is a minority. So, but there's no black candidate who fill a spot at this point. We want to talk about that. We think it's important that we talk about that because I'm going to give you my own personal experience from being a coach and what most likely happened. I normally listen to the pundits and talking heads when they talk about if a black coach do get the job, his leash is very short. You take Anthony Lynn, you take several others who had a chance to coach for only a year and they find him. But when they replace him, they replace with the majority, which is a lot of times the white candidate. Kind of share your thoughts on that, Sarita, in regards to that.
What I will say is I have not personally experienced it, but I have talked to some other coaches that have coached at the college level, and when it comes down to the hiring process, there's a lot of entities that go into being selected and not just being the perfect candidate, especially on a college level, because there was a young person that I was talking to and they were working at a college, and they had already been there a year. But what happened was that they had a diversity split of other colleagues, from the athletic director to other coaches that were coaching golf, tennis, you know, a spread of other sports. And when it came down to it, they were African-American. This person happened to be a female, and, you know, she got let go because there were too many African Americans that they felt that were in the department. No, they didn't say that to her, but that's what she gathered from her finding out why she was let go, because of course they didn't give her a definite answer on why they let her go. But when it goes down to a person being selected, there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that we've got to have some diversity. I mean, it's life. people may want to say that, you know, it's not fair, or, oh, you shouldn't be selected just because of the color of your skin. But we just have to look at, this is the generation that we're living in, and these are the facts. We are very qualified, whether we're man, female, whether we're black, whether we're white. We are more than qualified than any other candidate. I mean, it almost makes it seem like we're good enough as African Americans to play on your field of your sports, but we're not good enough to coach on the level alongside other colleagues and other peers that don't necessarily look like us. And it's very upsetting, because I was reading where now they're trying to make rules where if you are looking to interview coaches, that you have to have so many African Americans on there. I mean, we shouldn't have to force a school or force a division to be able to recognize us. I mean, it's just, if I'm coming in with my resume and I've got my qualifications and I've got whatever it is that you're asking me for, it should matter the color of my skin. It should just matter that I'm qualified for the position.
Exactly. And what we have to keep in mind, why this continuous fight goes on, systemic racism,
mm-hmm.
and that continue to go on. And as I say personally, is one of the things, and I know a lot of coaches that had an opportunity to coach and be head high school coaches in football. And normally it's in football. Let me be serious, on the high school level,
mm-hmm.
on the college level, on your Power Five, is normally football.
Yes.
When we don't get an opportunity. And I can go back to talk about my own personal situation. I had the pleasure of being blessed to be hired at a school to be the first black football coach, head football coach. I had the pleasure of being hired to be the first black coach, assistant coach at a school when I first got started off in football. Now, when I say that, I say it because we as coaches, especially the black coaches, know we're capable of being head football coaches. We also get the opportunity to be head football coaches, but most of the time we don't get an opportunity to be head coaches at those institutional schools that have the finance, have the players to compete at a higher level. And I'm going to say that again. We don't get the opportunity to be hired at those schools that has the finance, revenue, the money, and the players of high caliber to be able to coach them. We can assistant coach them, but we can't be the head coach. So one of the things
right.
that we encounter and I encounter was when I came through coaching, I applied for a couple jobs right in the city of Montgomery to be head football coaches. At the time, most of these jobs were held by Caucasian people, coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And never would get the opportunity, not because I don't believe I couldn't coach. It was pretty much, I think, because they was choosing to take that route not to hire. So it was something that that kind of bothered me and concerned me. And it concerned me to the point where, you know, I said, well, wow, I need to get out of Montgomery. However, things flipped and changed in Montgomery. I'm going to kind of paint this picture for the people that don't know. It flipped and changed, and there was a flight called the white flight. And it left the school system, went to the private schools, and went to surrounding counties. And then now we're able to get the head coach's job, but the level and the support that they once have, they don't have anymore. The players even left the school system and went to those schools. In a sense,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk a little bit about it now. It is happening a little bit now when I come back in a minute, but left and went to the schools in Otago County, schools in Elmo County, some of them even
yes.
the parents took it. And I want the best for my child as well. But
right.
that's something we have to deal with. We have to deal with, no one can understand the challenge that you have unless you really come to a time, a place where it was at its height. Very much so, I tell people, you know, we go back and we look at, I go back and I look at the years and years ago when some of our city schools were performing at the high level. When they did hire a black American, African American coach, he may have stayed there a year or two. And I can call out a couple of schools like that. But then eventually a couple of schools hired a person, from that point on, it was going to be black, but the athletes had already left and went to the other side of town or went to the private school. So it is a challenge when we're dealing with that situation. Some of people don't know about it. Some hadn't experienced it, but I can tell you it's real. I can tell you it does happen. So what we have to keep in mind is that we got to keep grinding. We have to keep ourselves prepped and ready. When the time comes when we will have an opportunity as they replace a new University of Tennessee coach. You know, I didn't hear one African American name mentioned in that coaching slot. That's the Power Five school. I didn't hear one. They had Josh Heiber, I think, out of the coach at either UCL, from UCL, because the athletic director, Danny White, came from UCL, University of Central Florida. So he brought this coach with him when he actually had coaches that was available. So that happened all the time. So it does happen at the high school level and happen at the college level. And people have to realize we have to have what we call a feeder pattern. The feeder pattern is you get a chance to coach at the high school level. Your dream is to move up to the college level. And then your dream is to move up to the professional level. But if you don't have enough coaches of color at the Power Five level, head coaches now. We talk about head coaches because we know 70% of the players, 80% of the players are of color.
Right, yes.
Then you're not going to have a chance to get an opportunity to be at that next level. A lot of time they fill those jobs at the professional level, but don't keep around long from coaches that was assistant coaches. Coaches who may have been previously head coaches, they try to give them an opportunity. We only have, at this time, is, if I believe, four coaches of colors in NFL. Four. And I'm saying that because two of them are African Americans. That's Tomlin and the young man in Miami. Then you have one at Washington team. Ain't Redskin, I can't say that no more. Washington team and Rivera, Ron Rivera. And then you have a coach just been hired, and he's considered of color. So those are the kind of things that we're dealing with. And what we have to do is understand it's happening, and we have to prepare ourselves when the opportunity comes, when the door opens up. The door will open up now. The door will eventually open up.
It will.
So that's something we have to keep in mind, that eventually that door is going to open up and you're going to get a chance to coach. You'll get a chance to be successful at that. So that's what it's all about. All right. We want to move to another subject in regards to the NFL as well. We're going to talk about the matchup between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Both of them secured their place in the championship game. But what is so unique about this, and I want everybody to realize, what is so unique about this, Tom Brady is 43, soon to be 44.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes is 25.
So they're calling it the clash of the eras.
There you go, clash of the era. 18 years different, I believe. And we just want to talk a little minute about that, just to kind of see how we can see from couple of decades different. I'm gonna say a couple of decades different, to see how they can clash and come together. And people don't realize how unique this is. This is very unique because when a player gets up in his 40s, most players it's time to go home. But you have a player now that's still around, and
truly, truly excelling at the highest level. And I say that because this player is truly, truly playing and has his team in the Super Bowl. So we're going to just share our thoughts about that. And, Tarita, I'll let you take a minute and just talk about your thoughts in regards to the two era. I mean, it's really two decades different because it's 18 years into the second decade. So just share your thoughts on it and what you feel about that situation.
I think it's going to be a great matchup. I mean, because when you look at it, you have a young guy. He's at the top of his game right now, MVP, and then you have a seasoned player that's still at the peak of his game, and now they're going to be battling out against each other. They both have admirable respect for each other, which is amazing. I mean, they've been on reports together, you know, giving each other kudos. They're not two men that are at each other. They're giving each other their props for youth and for being seasoned. But when you really, really look at it, whose side are you going to be on? I mean, because you have Patrick is, if you look at his numbers, you know, he's leading in completions of yardage, touchdowns. His scores are slightly higher than Tom Brady. But then you have Tom Brady that's a lot more seasoned. He's going to be able to deal with that pressure when it comes to those plays and making those last-minute decisions to run the ball. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I can't wait to see it.
Awesome, awesome. I agree with you. It's a clash of the Titans, just like it said. And the difference between the Titans is you have a Titan that's very seasoned, and you have a young, soon-to-be, they say, going to take over with it. Get quarterbacks and consider to be one of the greatest player in the NFL history. And
yes.
That's Tom Brady.
Yes.
He has 10 appearances in the Super Bowl. I just said two. 10 appearances.
10.
Let's be realistic. That's a lot of appearances. He won 6 of them. And if he wins 7, he well ahead of everybody anyway. As a starting quarterback,
he's been 10 times,
and he had won it 6 times. So you have that spectrum of father time and age, and you have
he's in pretty good shape, too.
Generation. Oh, great shape. And he promotes that with his special trainer that works with him, and he has an awesome diet. Just like LeBron, he spends millions of dollars on his body. LeBron spends $1.5 million on his body. And if you take care of your body, you will be successful.
It's going to take care of you.
Play.
Yes.
There you go. You can play the game, and that's what's happening. So it's going to be outstanding. I can't wait for it, truly, truly. I'm really excited about it because it's going to be an awesome game. And I won't make any prediction this week, but we'll make one next week on next show, but I won't do one this week because it's going to be next Sunday, not this Sunday coming up, but next Sunday. You have the Super Bowl weekend with the Super Bowl on Sunday. Check it out.
Yes.
Enjoy. Have a ball. Right now, we want to pay some bills, so we're going to run our ad right quick so we can make sure we pay
the Alabama bills. Small Business Development Center, located on Alabama State University campus, will be sponsoring COVID-19 Disaster Preparedness Planning Virtual Course, Continued Operation, Module 3.1 on February the 15th, Module 3.2 on February the 17th. The time for both courses is 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Registration deadline will be February the 15th at 10 a.m., February the 17th at 10 a.m. For further information, please contact William Scott at 334-320-5438 or www.alabama.edu. sdc@alasu.edu.
Awesome, awesome. And that's, you get an opportunity to give a shout out to William Scott and call him and talk with him so he can give you some more information. If not, call the Alabama Small Business Development Center at Alabama State University, and they also can give you some information about those virtual courses. All right, we want to move forth and kind of look at a way too early top 25 poll for 2021, which is around the corner now. We're in 2021, so in the fall we'll be playing football for 2021, college football season. Looking at that now, I think the same individuals that's always at the top will still be ranked at the top. And already way too early. We have Clemson seem to edge out Alabama.
Alabama.
For that top
spot.
Then you have coming in at in between the 3 and 5. I know it's mentioned Ohio State. It has mentioned
Georgia.
Georgia, and also they kind of throw something in there about
Ohio.
Ohio State and USC. Those schools have been mentioned. There are some others have been mentioned. But it's just early, and a lot of time the top four are the one that's selected. So we're going to see how the projection is in about 9 months to 10 months to see exactly, because that's in November and December when they select the top 14 to go to the college football playoffs. So it's a way too early poll.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk much. We just want to share said those teams at the top and how we feel about them. Now, first of all, I'm going to just talk a little bit about Clemson. Clemson will be reloading like they always have. Their quarterback of the future was shown last year when Trevor Lawrence sit out. So we see some awesome things from him. We also see talent coming back in other positions. So Clemson is nothing like just reloading. And next we have Alabama. And Tarita, if you want to share some thoughts about Alabama, it's fine. You know, let's. If not, I'll give what I think is going to be going on there.
Alabama. I think that they are an awesome team, a stellar team. He always has a great caliber of players. They always go to the next level. But he's also very good with his returning players and players that he will be having to replace. He's got those offensive and those defensive players that he's got to replace, that quarterback that he's gonna have to replace. So I think that they're gonna be in the top four when we get ready to get a little bit closer.
Exactly. And just to kind of just follow up on that right there, I think the quarterback, the young man from California, even though he did not play as much, I think will be the steady force at the quarterback position. And just think about it. He has not just 2 years ago. He now has actually four years, because it's something we want to share with everybody. All of those players that participate in any sports through the NCAA, this year did not count in regards to eligibility. So you got some players, I know for sure, the quarterback at King at Miami is coming back, and this will be his either sixth or seventh year, at least sixth for sure, because he did not lose a year. You got many others. You got several players at University of Alabama coming back, but that three-headed monster won't be coming back because the opportunity for them to make money at a high level will be available.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
he's going to be losing quite a few of them, that's going to be trying to go for the draft.
Exactly. And they will be drafted, because I've seen the mock draft to come out. Saw that Devontae Smith will be up in that top three. Then you got Waddle.
Right. Waddle, Harris.
And then you have Harris up in there, possibly in the top 12, and then as well as Matt Jones. Then you also have the cornerback that he's coming, which he's the only one that's leaving out that secondary this year, going to the pros, even though he's a junior, but he's going
okay.
anyway.
Yeah.
Then you have at linebacker, that young man still have a decision to make whether he wants to come back, because he lost a year last year because he got hurt, so he came back and he limped around a little bit this year. That linebacker that
mm-hmm.
was kind of split, so he's going to be have a choice to make, and I hadn't heard him declare yet. I just know Barmore has declared on the defensive line, and they got a couple other on the defensive line. But the way we see it, Alabama just seems to reload. They just reload.
Right.
They just reload.
Right.
You know, and it's so amazing. But one of the things will be a little different coming into 2021. You will not have the same coordinator, offensive coordinator, that you had last year. And I think call some awesome plays, whether people want to believe it or not. He may put some plays that I really didn't expect a team like Alabama to run, but he used the talent that he had. He used the ability to make a difference and dictate to the other team. So it's early, so the two top teams we talked about, Clemson as well as Alabama, will be battling to see who's going, who will be projected to win this coming up in 2021. Nobody's saying no other team like Georgia. Nobody said no team like Ohio State or USC or any other team. Florida won't be knocking head. Texas A&M won't be knocking head to be there. But those two teams, this will make, I think, Alabama fifth or sixth or seventh time. Clemson time, six or, both of them in there, six or seven times in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. So sometimes you can count on those individuals to be there. We have to count on them. So those are the kind of teams that is way too early. We're going to talk. We have talked about it. Said we could go in depth, but we're not going. We just want to kind of share a little bit about it. Quickly, I want to kind of bounce over to what we call our HBCU spotlight, the SWAC and the MEAC. We're going to discuss your spring football 2021. If you check the schedule out, we just want to share some information. The kickoff of the spring 2021 football season for the SWAC will be February the 27th. The first week you have everybody playing, which include Alabama State playing Southern at home and Alcorn playing A&M at home, Mississippi Valley playing Jackson State, Texas Southern at Arkansas Pine Bluff, Prairie View A&M at Grambling State at the State Fair Classic. I said I'll be at the State Fairgrounds. So, and the championship game will be scheduled for May 1st, the Cricket Wireless SWAC championship game, and the designated place have not been decided from what I've been trying to capture some information. A little bit about the MEAC right quick. You know, they have a challenge in the MEAC. They have lost at least four teams. For sure, they lost two. We know that's going to be playing 20 and 21 chose to opt out of the spring 21 football season, so they'll be ready in the fall. And that's Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman, who have decided to go to, you know, going to the SWAC in the fall of 2021. And also, the other day, we had North Carolina Central opted out, so they will not be playing. They will not be playing. So they down to 16. And they got to decide how they're going to do it. But I think from listening to some pundits and talking here, they're talking about playing each other twice so they can make sure they get enough games. And then they want to make sure they have some sort of championship, which they are scheduling. The first week for the MEAC will be February the 20th, and then they're going to make it the greatest effort to play the championship game on April the 17th. That's the championship game for the MEAC. So that's the SWAC in regards to the what's happening with them, the MEAC as well. Now, the first week you got Delaware State and Morgan State, Norfolk State, and South Carolina State. And on February 27th, Morgan State playing Howard, and South Carolina State playing North Carolina A&T. Those are the six teams. You see, they're playing each other. They're going to rotate and play. They'll come back and play them by their second time later on down the season so they can get enough games and take care of that money because they still have TV sponsorships that they have to play these games. So I have to make sure they do that. The CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, and the SIAC, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Association, CIAA has canceled their spring football. I haven't heard much about the SIAC. I know they're playing basketball generally, so we kind of move forward with that.
Right.
Our storyline on high school, Serena, we know that's basketball, but anything you want to share in regards to our high school or middle school storyline, whether it's basketball, football, whatever it may be, you can share with us like that. One of the things we want to kind of focus on in basketball for the high school is the new COVID-19 guidelines for indoor sports. The Alabama Department of Public Health put out some new guidelines. And those guidelines are really, really important that we follow this when we go to these basketball games. Let's make sure we follow those guidelines. If you got any questions about them, you can actually go to the Alabama High School Athletic Association or go to the Alabama publichealth.gov. They'll tell you about exactly for indoor sports. They want you to definitely work on social distance. They want you to reduce the potential exposure to COVID-19 by not having large number of people in the gym. Some people have taken advantage of that. They want you to reduce your population or your attendance of spectators to 20% of your usual capacity. For some schools, you don't have about 500 or 600 there, so you're talking about pushing that down to probably 300 if some cases are good game. Making sure any hand-to-hand contact, if it is, you make sure with a ball, you wipe that ball off, sanitize that ball. Sanitize their hands. Each time they enter and leave the gym area or active play area, the host team is responsible for publicizing through the public announcement each game about, you know, remaining 6 feet in distance. And if you less than 6 feet, you must be sitting with someone in your household. You must wear face covering or mask at all times while in the athletic venue. This is something have caused a change for the tournament coming up. We're going to talk about that a little bit, Sarita, in regards to the tournament, the area tournament, as well as the regional tournament and the state tournament. There's been some change.
I wanted to say,
yes, go ahead.
I wanted to say real quickly, I think I had my phone on mute and I must have been just talking and you couldn't hear me, but you were saying about the middle school storyline. I did just want to go ahead and I wanted to give a quick shout out to McKee Middle School in Montgomery, Alabama. They won their championship the other day, so I did want to give those guys congratulations.
Exactly. That's awesome, McKee. Go ahead on McKee, which I always have a tie to McKee because Cloverdale, where I was the coach at, won a city championship with, moved to McKee. So
I remember playing them with the red gym.
Yeah, the gym over there by Huntington. My last year as a coach before I went in administration, I was head football, head basketball, head track. We won the city championship in basketball over at Robert E. Lee Gym. So we're going to say hurrah to McKee High School for winning the city championship in basketball.
Yes.
I know they did everything to keep everybody safe because I know We had the girls at a site. You had the seventh graders at a site and the eighth graders at a site. We tried to start Saturday, and I think they worked on completing some of it yesterday. I'm sorry, Monday, and I think they still try to make sure they rotate and make sure we practice safety measures dealing with COVID-19. So we applaud McKee High School McKee Middle School for winning the city championship in boys. All right, quickly, we're going to touch, baby. Our time is kind of running out. We want to kind of talk about the regional. We're going to talk about the state tournament right quick for the Alabama High School Athletic Association Basketball Championship schedule. The regional this year will be played at the northeast part of the state will be at Jacksonville, like it always is. It's normally there. Northwest will be at Wallace State Community College up in Hansville. The southwest normally is at Alabama State University. But Alabama State, because of COVID-19, opted out from hosting the regional. So the regional will be played for the southwest at Garrett Coliseum, as well as the south region will be played at the Garrett Coliseum. So if you plan on going on watching some of those players, you can go over to those sites in Montgomery, which is the site, the Garrett Coliseum. That's where they'll be hosting both of those regional. One normally be at Alabama State, but it's being pushed over at to the Garrett Coliseum. And they adjusted the schedule, too. They removed one game from the sub-region.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, after you play normal, you will have to play your area, get your area tournament, then you move to the sub-region, and then you move to a sub-region playoff. We're a champion sub-region, then you'll move to the region. All that's part of the region now. But the bottom line is you won't have to worry about going. You'll go directly to the sub-region championship, and then you'll move to the regional. They're taking one game away from the region. So they're just only going to play the championship game, I want everybody to hear this, at those regional sites. They're not going to be playing no semifinals. And for the state tournament, which is always at the BJCC, it will not be because they're renovating the BJCC, get ready for the new stadium, the football stadium, protected stadium, which is next door to the BJCC.
Mm-hmm.
And they are playing the games at Bill Harris Arena, out there in Fair Park, Fairground, out there in that area, and also UAB. They're splitting up. They only can allow a capacity of 1,000 for Bill Harris per game and 1,200 at UAB. So this is something different. It's going to be strictly enforced because of COVID-19. So if you want to go online, buy your tickets. So you can get out there. If you have the capacity or have the ability to go through coaching, they will let so many coaches in, but they won't let everybody in like they used to. So it's going to be a little different. If you got a team that's going up, they're only going to allow 1,000, might be 500 from that other team and 500 from you to be in that complex. And once the game is over, they don't want to go through this, but they may shuffle you out to let a new crew come in. It's going to be a challenge, so just pay close attention. I can tell you, we're in challenging times. But I also have we have a challenging time. I got to pay one more bill as we get ready to close and get out of here. And then we'll.
If you decide to start a business, whether it's Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, financial solution, credit recovery, or just a startup company, you need capital, you need a loan. You need to know how to apply for this loan. Call William Scott at 334-320-5438.
Awesome. Make sure we give William Scott a call because he's trying to do some things to help us and make a difference. Again, that number is 334-320-5438. He's helping this network. So I'm going to help. We're working hand in hand to make sure we move forward with the success of WVSW Internet Talk Radio. All right, Sarita, I want to give a shout out to these individuals that join us on Facebook, and then we can say our final words or offer any information that will kind of move forward. I know you mentioned about some future events that are coming up with your pro teams. We want you to make sure you give a shout out before we say goodnight or goodbye. But let me give a shout out to these people on Facebook. We have Latay Pickett again, Inspire to Inspire. That ministry is working off the chain to make sure we provide for our families in need. Give her a call or go to Facebook. Basically, go to Facebook, information of Latay Pickett, and work with her to make a difference in somebody's life coming up for the week, 2 weeks, or whatever, because everybody are running a shortage of food, and they need help. Our food bank, you can be the food bank. Michelle Langford-Levette, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you, Michelle, so much for joining us. We have, Aitha Patrice joining us as well, as she worked as a co-host one for a minute. Jennifer Renee Adams, thank you so much. Denise Stephanie joining us from out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mass Ministry. Nicole Davidson, one of my former students from McKenzie School down in McKenzie, Alabama. She's in the military serving our country. Thank you for your service, Nicole Davidson. And another one of my former students from Lowndes County, Acarius Patterson. Thank you, Acarius, for joining us as well. Like I said, we're having an awesome night sharing a lot of information with you. And we want you to take this, and if you have any questions, I'm going to post a lot of this on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. I post it over everything that way to get the word out. Make sure I get the word out, and we will do that. I always tell everybody, make sure you hug and virtually hug your family members. Give them the love they need. You know, just share with sisters, brothers, significant others, some people's spouse, whoever it may be that you consider your children, make sure your nieces, your extended family, just give them a hug. It can be virtual. Tell them you love them. Sarita, closing remarks.
I want to thank you for inviting me on to be a co-host, giving me this platform to be able to talk about sports, get my two cents in, they say. I want to thank you so much. I have enjoyed myself tonight. I've been enlightened as well. You know, you always learn new things, so I have learned some valuable information about football. Not really a football fan, but I do keep up with Alabama. So I've had a wonderful night. Again, thank you. Thank you, everybody that's tuning in and listening. Again, I am Sarita Duncan. I own a semi-professional basketball team in Montgomery, Alabama. You can check out ABA. You can look it up, ABA Live. It'll give you all kind of information. Whatever state or city that you're in, I guarantee you that there's an ABA team that you probably don't know about that's in your city that's coming to you or that is already playing right now. So make sure you go. You can follow us on River Region General. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We have a home game coming up on February 6th. That's on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Ride Center. All the information is there. You spoke on the youth. We are all about the youth. This year, the ABA is partnering with AAU. So I'm going to have some information coming out about an AAU team that I'm going to be putting together for ages 13 and 14 who are now real small, putting my foot in the water before I just jump out there. So the youth is our future, and we're going to make sure that we do our part with the region.
Awesome, awesome. So glad to have you, Sarita, and we look to have you again coming back. Our next show will be, we have a Monday night show that we always have, and that's Talking Real to You, and you can join us. But I also will be doing a Friday show, and it's called Balling with the Doc, talking some more sports. It's a early show right at normally 2:30 on Friday, and we're going to see how everything going. I have another show that's coming out very soon called the Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. And we're going to do that at 1 o'clock every day. Well, three times a week we're going to do it. So we like to grow. we're enjoying the growth. God is blessing us. We thank the Lord so much. And we want you to realize being a part of this, and you're the reason why we are where we're moving to in the direction we decide our Lord and Savior. We, you know, God puts it on your mind to go to Facebook and check us out. Go to Blog Talk Radio. Go to Instagram. Go to Twitter. So let's check them out. Let's support them. And that's what it's all about. Hashtag be responsible. It's all about being responsible, especially when we're dealing with COVID-19. Wash your hands. Follow the safety measures. Stay 6 feet. Wear your mask. Stay at home. Also, One Life Matter, hashtag. We want everybody to understand every life matter here. You know, I was really kind of still a little upset. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep this in, and I'm going to keep talking about the eight individuals that come to their death as educators and administrators and as teachers in the Montgomery Public School System. And I want them to say more about them, not to just say four when it was really eight, whether it was one met by violent, whatever. We still lost those individuals from our community. So we want to make sure we practice those measures to keep everything safe. We have to do that. Hashtag keep on grinding. Tarita can tell you it's all about a grind. You know, you're going to have to go. Sometimes you have to grind it by yourself. And I know that for sure. A lot of times I have to grind it by myself. Everybody say, how you do, I do it. It's no problem. But do seem getting ass, doing everything, making sure we set up. Power go out, I got to jump over and get the power back on, you know. But that's the way it is. A blessing.
Right. All it takes is one person to make a difference.
And
you are really making a difference out there. I want to say to you for even following the vision that was given to you to create this platform where we can just talk about different topics that are very valuable to our community, whether you're African-American, whatever race you are, whether you're male or female. This is a great platform, a great show, so make sure y'all tell a friend and tell a friend to tune in to whatever show he's got going on and listen to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's, again, encouraging, and thank you for your support, Sarita, as well as just want to be a part of. Thank you for wanting to be a part of the platform, and we can't go without you, and we want you to be with us, and let's take this journey together, and that's what it's all about. That's communicate, hashtag for understanding, hashtag communicate for understanding. We have to do that. That's for L, which is love. That's for listening. O is for overcoming. The V is for, that's what the four is for now. The V is for valuable, and the E is for empowerment. That's what we're talking about. Communicate with love for understanding. That's what it's all about. And last but not least, as we get ready to move out of here, again, hug your family members. Send them a virtual hug. Give your, you know, just give them what you want to give them. Let your heart touch them so they'll know that you really love them. Tell them you love them. And that's because, see, that's what I'm going to do as I close it out. And I tell everybody, tell Sarita, and I tell every of my staff, I love y'all for taking time, and I love for who you are, and thank you again. And I like to say this and say it very loud. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it.